Absolute delight to have you here with us today.
Lovely, thank you.
I'm going to do the really easy thing of just handing over to you.
Yeah.
You host Helen's visit to us today. Introduce her, tell her a little bit about the work of Release International, but you're very welcome.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
I'm looking forward to coming.
So there you go. Over to you. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I think before I start, I just want to say one thing, that this morning is not about Helen. It's not about Release International. It's about Jesus and the work that he's done to bring us back into a relationship with a living Father God. So if there are those of you today that hear some words and you think, I don't know God like that, I have never given my life to Christ, then today's always a good day. So I want to say that right at the start. It's really my privilege to be introducing Helen to you today. And when I say privilege, I really mean it. See, one of the things that I appreciate so much about being involved in the ministry of Release is how I'm often privileged to go around the world meeting people just like Helen. Release, through all our indigenous partners, loves, cares for and supports persecuted Christians in just short of 30 countries around the world. And in those countries, I and my co-workers in Christ get to spend time with people like Helen. Recently, I was in Pakistan, and one of the people I met there was a lady called Rose. That's not her real name, for security reasons. Rose had converted from Islam, and she had to flee her community and her family. And many days later, in a place where she thought she was safe, two men, sent by her own mother, doused her with kerosene and set her on fire. That's the bad news. I think I want to say here that whenever we meet people like Helen or Rose, there's always bad news. But there is always good news, and we can always learn from them. Now, badly disfigured from her stomach down to her ankles, she shines with the love of Jesus. She forgives those who persecute her and still speaks of the rich love of God to anyone who will listen, including Muslims, the majority group, from where her persecutors still come. In conversation with Rose, she said this to me, "Paul, it's perfectly reasonable to expect to find the very best of God in the very worst of circumstances." And before Pakistan, I was in Korea, and I met with this man, Mr. Bay. There are a lot of Mr. Bays in North Korea, so that is his real name, but you would never tell. I spent a day and a night with Mr. Bay preparing for and releasing thousands of Bibles using weather balloons into North Korea to serve the North Korean church's evangelism. They've actually asked us to do that. Mr. Bay is a North Korean Christian who, just because of that, had been sent to concentration camps twice. He was tortured, but both times he escaped, and now he lives in South Korea. Mr. Bay, supported by our South Korean partners, now spends time, all of his time, working on evangelism and discipleship programs back into North Korea, often in great danger. I asked Mr. Bay, "Why do you put yourself in harm's way?" And his response was this, "Paul, I must. People need to know about the love of God in Christ." What an amazing example. Very recently, I was in northern Nigeria, which is not a good place to be if you're a Christian. You may have heard of Boko Haram, and now there's a severe problem with what's people who are known as Fulani militants. And I was visiting a man called Bishop Benjamin Kwoshi. He's the Archbishop of Jos. He's a remarkable, godly man. And on one occasion when I was with him, and he didn't know I was listening, so he didn't say this for a good effect or for the English visitor, but he greeted two of his own bishops, and he said this quietly into their ears, "Welcome, my dead brothers." Later I asked him what he meant exactly, and he told me this, "In northern Nigeria, we don't know whether we will last this day, but live or die, we do it with joy, and we do all we can to help others find that joy in Christ." So why have I told you these stories? Well, they're just a few examples of the many thousands of people who I and my colleagues at Release serve. And it would be very easy to become preoccupied with the sorrow of the sometimes terrible persecution, and it is right to be deeply concerned and prayerful about that. But as you can see from the stories that I've just told, and the one that you're just going to hear from Helen in a little minute. Time and time again, Christians who endure the hardest of circumstances go on living fully for Jesus with joy and confidence. And because of people like them, there's joy and light in the darkness. The gospel is being preached. The kingdom of God is coming near to people, and new life is being born from the dead. I just want to say hallelujah. They teach us how to be disciples, and I'll close with that today. And I want to introduce you to now a wonderful, beautiful disciple of Christ, Helen. You're going to listen to her story. I'm going to ask you to listen really carefully. Her English is a lot better than my Eritrean. But listen for the good news. Don't just focus on the horror. Listen for the good news. And ask the Holy Spirit, even now, to birth something in your own heart for today, for this week, and for the future. Helen, you're very welcome. Okay.
Yeah. Good morning, church. Yeah, it's a privilege for me to be here because many people they are praying for me when I was in prison. So I want to say thank you. I'm the result of many people's prayer. Thank you so much. As he mentioned, my name is Helen Brahana. I'm from East Africa, Eritrea. Who knows about Eritrea? Yeah, very few people. Even because I travel in different countries. So some places, totally they didn't know, except those people they invite me. So, but I will tell you today how it looks in Eritrea prison, how they treat people, how they torture. So it's actually close to Ethiopia. Eritrea located in East or Horn Africa, close to Ethiopia or Sudan. But I need to start from Acts 16:25, because today is Sunday, so we need something from the Bible. Yeah. Also, I'm glad I have watched there, so I can see. Otherwise, in Eritrea, or as style of Africa, we preach around 1 hour or something. So now I have you, I can see. Yeah. So, from Acts 16:25. Yeah. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing Yamin to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaking. At once, all the prisoner doors flew open, and everybody chain come loose. Amen. This word, I saw it in my life. That's why I need to mention it. So we will see how to work to sink inside the metal shipping container. How I survived because of praise, because of just praying and reading my Bible. So I will tell you short my story, because if I start telling you what's happening prison in Eritrea, even within 1 month you can write many books. Every day something happened in that area. It's very harsh, so I can't tell you detail, but I have one book, even it is kind of very small story from what I experienced in prison. The name of the book is Song of the Nightingale. I think it's when we finish, so you can have it. So normally I start when I was 8 years old, participate in the church. At that time, I don't understand the whole thing, but I know my grandmother, she's praying all the time. She's a big model for my life. So when I saw her, I give picture Jesus like my grandmother. She have amazing character. She's still alive. I haven't heard any bad word from her mouth. So that's why I give picture to Jesus like my grandmother. So later on, my dad, he built new house. So we moved there. So I found a Catholic church with huge revival at that time in that area. So the priest, he teach me very well. So he showed me the way. After that, it's my responsibility to read my Bible and to follow. So just always I'm reading, and I collect books. As I say, many Ethiopian pastors, they write books. So I read this kind of thing. So I grow up quickly in Christianity. So when I was 14 years old, I start to write my own songs. So later on, because always I'm asking, what about next? Because Christianity is kind of from one state to the next. You don't start in 10 years the same person, like feeding like small kid. So always I need something new. So I'm asking, who can preach the gospel? Always I'm asking this kind of question to myself. So I find out, if somebody is not afraid to die, this person can preach the gospel. So I start prepare myself at home. How can I start to preach the gospel? So I found a word from Paul. He mentioned it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. Yeah, it's true. It's not his power. It's God. He's asking us only one thing, to bring disciples to the church. So, yeah, that is my responsibility. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. So I go on the street. I start, preaching on the street, and many people touch what I'm doing at that time. Nobody throw me stone. Also, I'm standing on the cathedral, in the hospital, everywhere. So the country starts kind of something, movement happened in that area. So the government, they are aware. So they put me in prison many times. They put me in prison and they send me out. Put me and send me out. So at last, in 2002, the government would recognize only 4 churches. So it's hard for us, because at that time, in my church, it's huge revival. You can't sleep the whole night. People come from everywhere for healing. It's kind of church is 24 hours open. All the disturbance in the country, they came to church. It's huge amount of people in that time in this revival. So it's hard for us. They allowed only 4 churches. The other activity, they shut down. But even it's not true, they allow, did I tell you, Catholic, Lutheran, Evangelical Church, Islam, Orthodox, they allowed. But if you ask me now, even the Patriarch Orthodox is still in prison. It's not true what they are doing. So I'm thinking, so what can I do now? So I published one CD in 2003. And one film. The title is "The Cure for the World is the Gospel." So the government, they don't like that. So when I'm teaching young people real underground, around 1 month, they came at 2 a.m. So they torture me very badly, because most of them, they had been drunk. So they took me to the police station. They call it the police prison. But it's not new for me. I have been many times in and out in that area. So when we arrived there, there are many women by different case. So I start to tell them about Jesus. Again in the evening, I'm singing. So the guards, when they hear I'm singing, so they decide to send me far from that place. They call it Ad Abeto. When I arrived there, there was a huge amount of young people. They had been for long. So to see this kind of thing, it's very sad. Some of them, they are very sick. They deport from Malta. So 3 weeks without any rest to help those people. They are vomiting, so you must run in the night to help. 3 weeks without any rest. So at last, there was one Muslim guy. He is very sick, and he started beating himself. So they took him into the corridor. So I pray for him. So when I'm praying, he starts shouting. So, but at last, he's released from the kind of the bondage he has. But for me, they say, she's doing still what she's doing inside the prison. So they decide to send me far from that village. So when I arrived there with this group of young women with me, so I saw mud houses. So maybe they put in us here, but it's not safe. So he led us far from that mud house. So when we arrived there, I saw around 23 metal shipping containers. Even I didn't realize, because I heard when I was young, I heard there was animals, they stay only for one night, they die. So totally I didn't realize they put in us there. So when we came close to the container, we saw young people from this small window. So I say, oh, somebody is here. So the guard, he came and pushed us in one metal container. It's very dark. Also, it's not clean. So when we arrived, it's come small and insects jump all over our body. So we are asking, oh, where is the light? So, no, there is no light, he says. Also, toilet. So he said, we have no any toilet, so you use this one. A little bit difficult to call packet.
Pocket.
Yeah, pocket. So we use all of us inside the container. But the worst thing, the food is not good. So when you eat that food, you get diarrhea. So you use this pocket inside. So the weird thing, when you have diarrhea, it's not stopped by once. You need to go again and again. So it's stinky inside the container. Also, it's extremely cold in the night. So in the day, it's extremely hot. Actually, around 1 o'clock, you can't light the container. All of us, we came in the middle. So the young ones, they are teenagers, they start collapse on the floor because you feel like kind of dizzy, and it's kind of very hot. So we see each other, so our face is very red. So they ask me, Helen, what can we do? It's kind of quiet and everybody worry. So I'm saying, God, please help me. Because I read many books before the prison. Actually, when I read about Richard Wurmbrand, Torture for Christ, it's by Amharic language. I read it at that time. I tried to translate it to Tigrinya many times. So this book gave me a lot of understanding. Christianity, it's not only smooth way. It has up and down. So if I mention from that book or other thing, maybe it's hard for them to understand. It's my experience. So I say, God, help me. So it's come word from the one I read it before, Acts 16:25. When Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, they start singing. Also, the fortress of Jericho in book of Joshua, it's collapsed because of the prayer. Also, Paul says, rejoice the Lord always in Philippians 4:4. So, with full confidence, so I told them, now we can sing. They don't expect to say this. Huh? Sing here? Because it's very quiet, all the containers. So I told them, yeah, the only we can do is just we sing. So I start singing, thank you for this toilet. Thank you for cold. Thank you for the hot thing. Thank you for those insects. We have this kind of song. So I start singing and they follow to sing. But the guards, they shock because it's quiet area. See? They rush and they open this container and they torture us. So they separate us into two. So many of them, they are afraid because the torture, I tell you, when they beat you once, you feel fire in your body. So they send them back to the container. Around 4-5 women, we have been staying for 1 month outside. Chain, this kind of thing. So at last they decide to integrate us one by one. But all of us, we are saying, we don't disturb others, but we can't stop singing. So they say, okay, you can sing, but slowly, slowly. Okay, so when we come back to the container, I'm like, how they allowed us to sing? Because I saw by my eyes how they treat the young people. They pull their hair, they smite them on the floor. It's a lot of things in that area. That's why we pray 3 times in the day, 3 times in the night. With this hard situation, we fast a lot. Even the situation is fast. They don't give you anything. It's fast itself, but we fast a lot to discipline ourselves. Not to change the situation, but to discipline, to care the cross until last. So we fast a lot inside the container. So when they allowed us, I'm like, how? So it's come word about in book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They decide not to back down on the statue. King Coronas, he asked them to back down in the statue. They say, even though if he didn't rescue us, we don't back down on their statue. So without any doubts, they say, just we don't back down. So I feel like that. Oh, now I understand. We stand in faith not to back down what they are saying. It's not normal to say to somebody, don't worship God. So we stand by faith, even though we stay here for 1 month. If you continue, 2 months. So they know. They know how we are strong. That's why they give up. So I'm like saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. God, Sidra, Misad, Abednego, you are with me. So I start to experience this Bible with my life. It's kind of real. Even now, it's not necessary for me to tell you about how Peter did or others did. It's real. I saw it in my life. So I trust it as it is. So after that, they have, as I told you, it's the prison in Eritrea from bad to worse. Because I'm teaching every day inside the container. So they start torturing me many times. Many times. So outside the whole day, it's come rain. Also next day, it's come sun. You feel all the time kind of get cold and diarrhea. Diarrhea is always. So, but with this kind of poor condition, always I'm worshiping God. Even when they chain me outside, just I see the nature, the heaven or something. Wow, how you are great. You are big. So I don't think like negative thing. Just I'm worshiping God all the time. You are just holy. You create. How you create this? Because people, they are surprised if somebody builds amazing building. But he is the one create those people, build that building. He is above. So just always I'm worshiping. So even sometimes I forget I'm with this chain or something because of the happiness inside of me. That's why Peter says, rejoice to the Lord always. He had been himself in prison, but he mentioned it for outside. He knows the inside happiness. So today, I came here not to tell you how prison is hard, but I came here to empower you. If God put you in some position, because he wants you to know him more about him, to search about him more. So now, because of the situation I passed through, I know many things, how God works, how things function. That's why always I didn't think I have something. Like Paul says, I forget the past, but I'm looking forward. That's why he ran like one runner to find something, to grab something. So always I'm just, I need new thing. I'm not angry if the church is the same people for many years or something. I'm shocked. So I say, no, we need something to do. Church is for those outside, for those suffering by drug, for those suffering by many things, for those, even Muslims, they didn't know about Jesus. God brought them from all over to Europe because we are afraid to go there. We are afraid. We need comfort zone. So that's why they can't. Even we are afraid again. So you can't fish by distance. You need to go to the... Even they are knock our door. That's why they are here. But we are afraid about them. I tell you, Christianity is to find something. To hear why those people came here. Why? Because everybody must know about Jesus. That is the purpose of God. So we need to grow and we need to know more about Jesus. So my life is like that. So because of I'm teaching every day, they torture me many times, but I worship him. What he's doing, how he creates. So the next thing, because also, I sent 4 or 5 letters for those prisoners. I'm glad now there are many of them, they are believers because of the price we pay at that time. So, after that they say, you are teaching prisoners, that's why they torture me. After 2 years in this metal shipping container, so I start teaching the guards many times. But from this many times, they found one letter. So when they found this letter, they are angry because they put you in this metal shipping container to forget everything. I know people, if they stay 7 months, 8 months in this metal shipping container, they forget their birth date. They shout, have something wrong in the container. That is the purpose they put you. Just to be lazy. So when they found this big letter, how did you write this? So they took me from the container in the middle of dirt. All the containers can see at that time. So they tortured me. Give us the Bible. So I told them, I have not any Bible. But if you ask me, when I arrived the first day in metal shipping container, the next day I received a Bible. You ask me, oh, how? I told you, if he created heaven and the earth, do you think it's difficult for him to give me Bible inside this mess shipping container. So you need to open your eyes to see what he's doing. He's dynamic God. Dynamic means if you touch him, it can explode. But people, they don't understand. That's why they live in just in one circle. Rooting in one circle. But you need to jump today. Jump. You need something to bring to the church. Somebody. So, just I read my Bible 15 times inside the container. Even though there is no light, they have small lights for them to see what's happening in the prison. So it's come small light by that small window. We stand the whole night to read. The whole night. So I read it from Genesis to Revelation 15 times. Plus, when I'm teaching all the prisoners, you read a lot of things to get new revelation and to feed others. We use kind of white sheet to give reflection. So you read. If you hear the guards around, just you sleep like you are sleeping. So we did a lot of things. So because of the last letter, they tortured me a lot. So the next day, they asked me again for chain. But at that time, I still headache because they beat me a lot. When I say I have no Bible, but it's in my mind, so they try to destroy a lot. And they beat me in my head. The next day, chain outside. So I'm saying, I have been yesterday. What is it? Sometimes you don't understand what they are doing. So I have 5 minutes, I think. So, yeah, they sent me for torture. So when I arrived there, I saw police stick. So when I saw that, now I must prepare myself to pass away because I know they kill by that stick, this police stick. I know they kill people when they beat them, so they collapse. So I know that, so I start to prepare myself. Now the time is over. So he told me, Helen, we know you are teaching all the prisoners, but now you start to teach guards. You must stop. So I told him, the reason I came to the prison because I'm preaching the gospel. Also, the reason I'm for 2 years in this metal container because I'm preaching the gospel. So I can't stop preaching. If somebody came around my container, I will tell him about Jesus, how he loved them. So he brings this stick. So it's come word to my mind from Isaiah 53:7. He's not open his mouth, which means Jesus, he is not open his mouth when they torture him. So I'm saying, who am I to shout? So just I keep silent. He tortured me countless, countless. So he gave me 5 minutes break. Helen, you must stop saying Jesus. Even he is not Christian. It's amazing when he say that. No, in one head, only one mouth. So I can't change my word. I accept him until death. So when I mention that, he starts shouting. I'm not shouting. He's the one shouting. He beat me countless, countless. They know where is the nerves. So it's easy now to speak about it, but it's hard to go. Through it, my body starts to shake by itself. It looks red and blue. So it's very many things happen in my life, but I worship him all the time, because he put me in that situation. He wants to use me for the nation. That is the purpose. So he put you in oven, like you can't eat bread if it's not have in oven, isn't it? When it's cooked properly, you can eat. Otherwise, nobody can eat. So So sometimes he put you in oven or he cook you in dish. Oh, you start shouting, crying. I tell you, it's not the solution. You need to be wise and say, Jesus, I know you sacrificed yourself on the cross. So what do you want to teach me from this? Ask him, not shouting, crying. It's not, church is not place for crying. It's place for to worship God and to ask him, what do you want me to do? I tell you, he can tell you. They put me 10 months with mental ill woman. She pulled my hair all the time. But I'm not saying, why you did this for me? I can't ask this kind of question. What can I learn from this? So we need this kind of thing. We worship him because he sacrificed himself on the cross. He gave us life. He died on the cross for you, for me, for everybody. So that is enough to worship him. So you will see breakthrough in your life. So that is the way. If you ask me why I'm laughing all the time, I'm working hard, sometimes 16 hours, 17 hours with autism people, and I'm studying and traveling. But the reason, because I forgive them what they are doing in my life, also I forgive those people start to hurt me in the church or in different ways. Otherwise, you can't follow him. So you need to forgive. Maybe the family you are have problem, maybe mother with daughter. You need to forgive. You need this unconditional love. So you can last the whole your life. So that has helped me to forgive, not to bitterness, hatred or something. I love those people, they torture me. Because I'm sure one day they can realize what they are doing. So I hope one day they can understand they met Jesus. That is my purpose. Nothing else. I think time is over. Thank you very much. God bless you. I love you so much. So next time, I hope I will see the church is full with new people. new people. God bless you. If I do it, you can do it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Love you so much.
So Helen is just going to sing a song for us now. You won't be able to understand it, so I'm going to put some words on the screen. I heard Helen sing yesterday, and you know, I sat there thinking this is really nice, and then I started to cry because all of a sudden I saw her in a shipping container worshipping Jesus. So Helen's going to sing, just read the words and just ask the Holy Spirit just to speak into your own life.
Yeah, sorry, the musician did not show up in the morning. He says only in the evening we have program.
Helen, that microphone, yeah.
Maskalay mskam kghabdani يسوس أيجن علوهاني عبت غزون بيني كما سلاني قال أيجن علوهاني من عقوار بالسبات تلم تيك بس هو الدخمات يسوس كنت معدون كرات زيت تلم عركي كل زمانات عبت غزون نبيني كما سلاني يسوس أيجن علوهاني مسكلاي مسكام كغداني قال آي أيجن علوهاني كن عقوار بالسبات تلمتيك بس هو يسوس كنت معدون كرات زيت تلم عركي بكل نكرات عبت قعزو نبيني كما سلاني يسوس أيجن علوهاني مسكلاي مسكام كغداني يسوس أيجن علوهاني.
Thank you very much. And thank you also for Relief International. They are always supporters of Eritrea. God bless them what they are doing. Also, thank you for brought me here. And thank you, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you, Helen. I never fail to be moved by people like Helen, and it really is a privilege to meet people like her. Thousands go through, millions go through what Helen goes through, but they're refined, aren't they? Do you see something in Helen that you long for, that you think, God, I complain about, you know, if somebody scratches my car? It's kind of like Jesus, I just want to grow up. And people like Helen teach us how to grow up. It's very hard to follow something like that, but I think I'd like to take a moment just to consider what we've heard today. It would be a shame to have met someone like Helen and for us not to decide today how we're going to let this change our lives. What happened to Helen is not going to happen to you or to me. What happened to Rose, what happened to Mr. Bay or Archbishop Ben Quashy and his family, it's not going to happen to you or to me. We live in a relatively comfortable, easy life, don't we? Our children are not going to be stoned coming home from school. This church building isn't going to be raided by secret police, and it's not going to be burnt down by militants. So how might we learn lessons of discipleship with them, with people like Helen? Well, I'd like you to just consider a simple verse in the Bible. You'll find it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it reads this: in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I'm going to read that again. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life, and there's the key, in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Dr. Bahani Ashmalash, who's another Eritrean man who we know very well, he was a prisoner in Eritrea and now tirelessly campaigns for the release of prisoners in Eritrea. I was at one of his talks and he showed this slide. Disciple or customer? Are you a disciple or a customer of Christ? A disciple, a follower, learns all he can about his master's trade. A customer wants as much as he can get for as little as he has to pay. Ouch. Someone once asked a friend of mine, he's dead now, called Glenn Penner. He's one of our partners out of Canada. They asked him this: Glenn, why do you think Christians in Canada are not being persecuted? You could insert Britain for Canada there. Glenn's answer was very direct. He said this: because we don't live lives worthy of persecution. They're really strong, direct words. But listen to what Jesus said. These words are even stronger. This is Luke chapter 14. And in my Bible, it starts with the heading, The Cost of Being a Disciple. And it reads this: large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build but wasn't able to finish it. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he'll send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. These are stronger words than Glenn Penner's. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? People like Helen and all the others that you've heard of today are no different to you and me. I want to say that. None of them I meet would ever think they're anything special. They are no different to you and me. They're not heroes or super saints. They don't want to be called that at all. In many cases, they have simply been forced more deeply into Christ because of their circumstances and the direct attack on Christians within their own countries and communities. Well, why should we wait for that to happen? To go more deeply into Christ. Let's not wait for persecution in this country to force us into living a more godly lifestyle. Let's determine in our hearts today, having heard Helen's testimony, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to begin living more fully for Jesus now. Begin by taking time in prayer today and this week to think about what true discipleship might actually cost you. If you lived just a little bit more fully for Jesus every day this week, what might it look like for you in your home, your school, your college, or your job? What might be the cost for you just to live a little bit more fully for Jesus? Maybe you'll be criticized. We've heard a testimony today which just makes that pale into insignificance. We might be mocked, we might be ridiculed. We might not get the promotion at work that we want. We might even lose our jobs, we might even lose some friendships. Maybe we'll have to compromise our faith a little bit less than we do and speak up for truth a little bit more than we do. Maybe we'll have to share the gospel with more people so that they can encounter the love of God which has been shed abroad into our hearts. It's really selfish to keep hold of that. But to share our faith with others can make us feel uncomfortable. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this. This is Paul, and the word beseech is a strong word. It's like I beg you, I plead with you. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Notice the word reasonable. Doesn't even say it's special to give yourself completely to live for Jesus. Doesn't even say it's praiseworthy. It doesn't even give you a pat on the back. It says, in view of what Jesus has done for us, in view of God's mercies, offer ourselves to God as living sacrifices. That's the only reasonable response. After all, we don't sing, Half to Jesus I surrender, half to Him I freely give. We don't, do we? We sing all to Jesus I surrender. So thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for supporting Helen. Thank you for supporting Release International. There's magazines available at the end. The reason we have a magazine is to enable you to engage more deeply with people like Helen. And what my own experience is that as we engage more deeply with our persecuted brothers and sisters, it urges us on ever more to want to live more fully Jesus. So to pick up a magazine, you can sign up to get that every 2 months. And I'd urge you, if you can, we've brought lots of Helen's book. It's a lovely little book. It's thin. You can read it in an afternoon. It's called Song of the Nightingale. It might just change your life forever. Thank you, Adrian, for having us.
Thanks, Paul, and special thanks to Helen as well. I don't know about other people here this morning, but I've been deeply challenged by hearing your story shared in such a loving way today. But the way that the spotlight goes to what God is doing in your life and your forgiveness of those who tortured you is a huge challenge to what it means to follow Christ. So thank you so much for coming today. It's really hard to know, isn't it, how you finish a service like this.